This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. And listen, is it just me or has this been a long week? The Fed meets, Wall Street goes nuts. I don't know. Monday just feels like it was a good long while ago. And that's where we're going to start our weekly wrap. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville is in our studios in New York. Neela Richardson from Bloomberg Government is down in Washington, D.C. Hey, guys.
Hi, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, so Neela, let me ask you this. Ben Bernanke gives his press conference on Wednesday after the Fed meets. He says, generally positive things, I believe. Wall Street goes bananas. Here's my question. Did Bernanke muddle the message or did Wall Street overreact?
I think Wall Street overreacted. It was almost as if Bernanke punched Wall Street in the collective gut. Ooh. And that's not what his intention was. He said very clearly, I thought, that the Fed would begin to taper if and only if the fundamentals looked good. Not good enough. Good.
Tapering is the gradual reinstatement of interest rates going up and stop buying and all that stuff. Exactly. Mr. Garcia, sir, agree, disagree?
I agree, although I also think he muddled the message. So he muddled the message, and in part because of that, Wall Street overreacted. So I took away two main things once you cut through sort of all the clutter. One is that he really does expect the economy to improve even more than he expected it a few months ago. And because of that, that's why he thinks it's appropriate to start slowing down the pace at which the Fed supports the economy later this year. But he made another point, as Neela said, which is that if it doesn't meet his expectations, then he's willing to adjust the pace at which he either slows down or if it gets really bad, he'll even increase it, right? Yeah. The problem is that the market's completely ignored the second point. And I think part of that is a little bit on him because he didn't make it clear really what he'd be watching for. And when you make a policy like that that's variable, that's contingent on the economy achieving certain states, then you have to explain what those states are. He didn't really do that. And so I'm not too shocked that markets reacted.
All right, Neela, climb in here. I can hear you with that sharp intake.
No, the hard truth is, and Bernanke unfortunately used this analogy, this is going to be like landing on an aircraft carrier. There isn't any clear signals about what the economy is going to give the Fed to make the Fed feel comfortable to pull back off that gas pedal. Yeah. And so they're going to look at a variety of things, and collectively they're going to get a view of the economy. And that view could change from quarter to quarter.
All right, Cardiff, one more quick question on the Fed, actually. What's going to happen next time Bernanke has one of these press conferences? Is he going to be more deliberate, careful, you know?
I think he will. I think he'll be more forceful. He'll reintroduce some of the boldness and clarity that he had, you know, been introducing into Federal Reserve communications policy in the last year or two. And by the way, there might be one silver lining from what's happened in the last couple of days, which is that some of the distortions and the vulnerabilities in the markets have now been exposed. So when inevitably the economy does get better and the tapering actually does begin, markets might be a little bit better prepared to deal with it.
All right. Well, fingers crossed on that one. Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, let's hope.
All right. Changing gears here. Neela, the G8 was this past week. The president went to Ireland. They had communiques on tax evasion in Syria and this and that. I remember when the G8 used to be a big fat wingding and everybody paid attention and it really mattered in the global economy. And now you're like, yawn, right?
Right. The G8 has now become an old man's club where they play chess and talk about the weather. No, there are some important things that are going on in terms of the West getting their message together on tax evasion. But in terms of real economic change and policy, you need the BRICS at the table. You need China, Brazil, and India. And so the G20 has surpassed the G8 in terms of importance and global significance.
Cardiff, let me actually just springboard off of that for a second and talk about China, which had a little bit of vulnerability this week. There were some interest rate moves over there. I don't want to get too far down in the weeds, but people got nervous about the Chinese economy. Are you?
I am. And it is. It's impossible to say exactly what's going to happen. But that itself is one of the problems. There isn't a whole lot of transparency about what the Chinese central bank and the Chinese government think is happening in credit markets right now. And the worry is, and it's probably not going to happen, but it's a non-trivial worry, is that China ends up with a credit crunch of a similar magnitude to China that the U.S. and other rich economies had a few years ago. But it's still way too early to say.
Yeah, that would be non-trivial, dude. I mean, come on.
Yes, it would be. I'm saying there's a non-trivial chance it'll happen. I still think it's a low probability chance, but there's a chance, and that's no good.
All right. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville and Neela Richardson from Bloomberg Government down in Washington. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kai.
Have a good weekend.
See you. Have a good weekend. You too.